This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday one-hour edition of TalkBack. TalkBack this morning is brought to you by our great sponsors, which include Y-West Storage, secure flexible self-storage in Missoula. Call Y-West to reserve your unit today. These are all 406 numbers, of course, 510-0590 for Y-West. Quality Seamless Gutters does expert gutter installation and repair. For a free quote, call 728-4002. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy-duty truck sales, parts, and service. Call Bruckner's at 541-9097. Busy Bee's Cleaning Service, commercial cleaning you can trust. Call 550-3219 and get a free estimate from Busy Bees. Pivots Plus, Montana's leader in irrigation parts, service, and sales. Call Pivots Plus, 683-4418. Gomer's Diesel repair parts and service in Missoula. Call Gomer, 728-7620 today. And by Harrington Surgical Supply, providing medical and surgical supplies to healthcare professionals all across Western Montana. Call Harrington at 721-8468.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Hey, welcome to the Friday edition of TalkBack. I'm Peter Christian. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
All right, joining us this morning, as is our custom every Friday, we get the crime report from Missoula County Attorney Matt Jennings. Matt, it's a pleasure to talk to you, sir. How are you?
Thanks, Peter. Doing really well. We had a really busy week this week, though, with crime in Missoula County. Last week, we only charged 12 felonies, but this week, we charged 22. That's really, you know, about as much as we ever do. We've had a couple weeks where we've gone into the high 20s, but this was really busy. Unfortunately, in that category, we had 9 violent crimes, and that's also a lot. That's really about double from what we usually run, and I'm going to talk about a couple of those in a minute. We had 5 endangerment crimes, almost always related to really extreme behavior when somebody's under the influence and driving, but it can include some other things. We had 3 property crimes. I think all those were stolen vehicles this week. We had 3 drug crimes and then 2 administrative crimes where fugitives were caught here from out of state. Unfortunately, also in our violent crime category, that was mostly domestic violence. We had 5 instances of domestic violence this week, and some of these were really terrifying. We had stalking. We had an intimidation case where a man was essentially holding his partner at gunpoint, not letting her leave. This was nearly a kidnapping situation, but it was charged as unlawful restraint, which is kind of one step down. And then some scary partner family member assaults. We're never quite sure why one week can sort of lead to this explosion in domestic violence, but we do see these certain patterns, and we're always trying to figure out what's going on so we can stop it ahead of time. One of the cases that I did want to mention in our violent crime category was we had an absolutely horrifying sexual assault on the Broadway Island this week. A person that was temporarily in Missoula from out of state was walking along the trails on the Broadway Island there by Broadway and Scott, and she was thrown to the ground by a man who was trying to sexually assault her. And this is every woman's worst nightmare. We as a community are absolutely horrified and pouring our resources into making sure that this person is brought to justice and that she feels that she has a voice in this system. We don't see a lot of stranger attacks like that, but when we do, they really rise to the top of our pile, making sure that we do everything we can in a case like that. Sometimes I get on this program on Fridays, Peter, and I talk about a lot of negative things, and I hope I don't bum people out, but I want to spin this in a little bit of a positive way, too. One of the things that we see in an incident like this is something awful happens, but we can also judge what's going on in their community by the reactions of the other people involved. And so many people stepped in to try and help this woman. Law enforcement showed up within minutes. Medical staff was doing everything they could. We captured surveillance video from cooperating businesses nearby. And when we see our community tested like this with really pure evil amongst us, we also see everybody else react to that in a manner that I actually find a lot of hope and positivity in. And so sometimes even something so awful like this can make me reflect on all the many, many people, truly dozens of people involved in this, that step up and try and make sure that this is completely unacceptable and doesn't happen again. There is one other case that I wanted to highlight. We had a sentencing for a child sex predator in our community, and while a lot of these offenses are often from men, we are seeing more and more women get involved in child sex abuse. And a woman named Caitlin Ingraham abused her young children, who were under the age of four, basically from the time they were infants until the age of four, of filming them in extremely disgusting, exploitative, violent acts and then selling them online. We had a very long and serious sentencing hearing this week where Caitlin Ingraham got 40 years in the Montana Women's Prison. And we're happy for the outcome that she is going to be away for quite a while, but those wounds that she caused her children unfortunately may never heal.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I just can't imagine, you know, a mom doing something like that. It's horrible. But listen, thank you for sharing all that, because it's good to know what you folks in the law enforcement community go through on a daily basis. That the those of us just driving back and forth to work or school or whatever, we don't have the faintest idea the ordeals that people go through and that you go through to try to help people.
Well, thanks, Peter. And for the most part, we want to keep it that way. We want people to be able to focus on their lives and their families and feel safe in their community, and they should know that that is happening. But yes, there are some things that happen that are extremely unfortunate and violent, like they happen anywhere, but we're doing what we can to bring these people to justice.
Well, Matt Jennings, always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you for sharing that, and we look forward to our next visit, sir.
Thanks, Peter. Bye.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it's going to be City Talk, ladies and gentlemen. And boy, do we have some guests here in the studio with us this morning. We have, of course, Jenny Miriam is going to be joining us, along with a friend of mine who actually helped me out a couple of years ago, Jamie Junkle, the bear conflict specialist with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. We're going to come right back and get a great program underway right after this quick timeout.
Heading into what looks like a nice spring weekend as we have high pressure protecting us for at least a couple of days. Sunny and warmer Friday as highs climb back to around 60 degrees. We'll see a mix of sun and clouds Saturday and Sunday with highs running 60 to 65. When skies clear, though, lows will drop into the upper 20s to low 30s. A reminder, it's still early in the spring. Later Sunday, we're expecting to see a few clouds creep in as the high starts to shift, with a chance of rain by Monday. With your Town Square forecast, I'm Dennis Brad.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, and this is City Talk. I'm Peter Christian, Mr. Nick Christensen over there taking your phone calls this morning. Special guests in the studio, Jenny Miriam, of course, City of Missoula Communications Specialist and Director, and Jamie Junkle is joining us here. He's the Bear Conflict Specialist with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and I think all of the rest of us could just leave the room and let him tell some stories. I'm sure he could keep the whole hour busy, but Jamie, first of all, welcome to the show. It's good to have you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me today.
It's our pleasure. So let's, Jenny, the floor is yours. Go ahead, please.
I'm going to give a little bit of background on the Bear Smart program and how it's working in Missoula. Of course, issues between bears and people in the Missoula Valley go back way farther than this program. But we started in the fall of 2022. We had a very active season of bears coming into the city, and Jamie will talk about what happens when a berry crop fails. There's not the natural foods outside of the city, so they start coming into the city, and it's especially attractive for them if they can get into people's garbage cans. So the main focus of our Bear Smart program now is to keep bears from becoming habituated to being able to get a food reward out of a garbage can. We have a multi-agency working group that is city, county, some just regular residents, the Missoula Conservation District, Defenders of Wildlife, who came together and looked at a program called to our attention by Jamie as a bear biologist and Chris Servine, who worked for the federal government as a bear biologist for a long time, who said, look at this Bear Smart program that originated in British Columbia. We went to officials in the city and the county, got their permission, their support, unanimous, to work on a hazard assessment and a bear management plan. We learned that 49% of the human-bear conflicts in Missoula come from bears getting into garbage, and so we knew we had to work on that. We were able to pass a resolution, unanimous again, the city council and the county commissioners giving us the go-ahead. We were able to Institute rules through the Help Board for Missoula Public Health, establishing a bear buffer zone that goes out into the county around the city. And in that zone, all of the customers of both of our trash hauling companies are required to have bear-resistant garbage carts. And those are supplied by, the rules call for them to be supplied by the haulers. So individual people don't have to go out and look for a bear-resistant cart. We've gotten through phase one, which was Grant Creek and the Rattlesnake. They're pretty swapped out, and I can tell you...
Well, that's where most of the bear happens.
That's why we went there first. Right, sure. I can tell you, I'm in one of those neighborhoods, and the difference was incredible. The many, many fewer bears that we've seen the last couple of falls. And then we moved into University area, more central, and phase three, which is the final phase, will start April 30th, and it goes out into the county, Miller Creek. And so the haulers are busy. They'll be busy all through April swapping out those cans. There are many other provisions in Bear Smart programs that we will eventually get to. We're starting to look at bird feeders, for instance, and how we can do public education about bird feeders. For now, we're focused on the trash. That's where we are today.
Wonderful. All right. So Jamie, first of all, welcome to the show. It's good to have you, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. And of course, you and I have a little bit of a history. You helped me out with a bobcat problem, and not a football problem, but a real actual live bobcat problem outside my yard. And these, I'm sure you get called, you must have the most, you know, varied amount of experiences in your job as anybody in Missoula, because you deal with wild animals all the time.
Sorry, I got a bit of a scratchy throat.
That's
today.
All right.
You know, all of our wildlife around Missoula are slowly kind of keying into the urban wildlife interface, you know, and we've made the habitat so perfect that a lot of the species are starting to come in to take advantage of some of the goodies. You know, we've essentially made the wildlife habitat better. We've turned butter into ice cream, in essence. And so, yeah, bobcat, lion, bear, even the horses up in Miller Creek, you know, are starting to come into town.
Had experience with those, yeah.
Yeah, they can get a lot fatter and be a lot healthier, but they have a lot of risks when they come into town.
I will tell you, it's really glad that you're here, because one of the things that you can do is to let the people know in this wildland urban interface how to if you will, bear proof your property, and perhaps even more importantly, how not to make it more attractive to wild animals.
Yeah, a lot of people are excellent animal trainers and don't realize they are. You know, certain habits that we have will actually encourage wildlife to come in. And, you know, garbage is an excellent example. It's like if you compare garbage and bear-related attractants to money, you know, it's like hanging, you know, $1,000 bills on your clothesline or keeping a dead horse in your backyard and not expecting, you know, the bears to come in. So... yeah, a lot of times, prevention is the key, is what we say. Teach bears to keep away, not come and stay. So, yeah, it's not rocket science.
Well, listen, the phone lines are open. If you have a question for Jamie Junkle, the bear conflict specialist with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, he is sitting right here waiting to answer your questions. He's got a notebook full of questions and comments all to share with you. If you give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're going right back with Jamie Junkle. He'll be on with us till 10 o'clock, so we'll be back right after this.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. A new report suggests those bail bondsmen involved in a fatal shooting in Missoula 3 weeks ago were operating with problematic authority when they attempted to apprehend a fugitive. Prosecutors have charged two of the men in connection with the death of Joshua Weichel, who they say was shot through the door of his car as he attempted to drive away from the town pump on Reserve Street. Now the Montana Free Press reporting the Montana State Auditor's Office has been checking into the confrontation, discovering that two of the bondsmen didn't have state licenses, while the other two were operating on temporary permits. permits. The state has suspended the licenses of the two men facing charges, as well as the Virginia-based company Mr. Bale, ordering the firm to cease all operations in Montana. The ceremony is scheduled now for April 17th for the unveiling of a memorial plaque by the city of Billings, remembering the 600 Yellowstone County residents who lost their lives in the pandemic and the over 52,000 that were infected by the virus. It's believed to be the first time we've seen this happen with a Montana city. For the first time in decades, residents who live along Missoula County rivers are struggling to understand how their properties will be impacted by new expanded maps being developed by FEMA. It's challenging as people, especially on fixed incomes, are worried about now having to buy flood insurance. County Floodplain Administrator Matt Heimel says a series of open houses are aimed at explaining the new map details.
At some point in the next 6 to 9 months, FEMA will open a comment and appeal period. And that's where people can submit information to dispute the maps or comment on them. And if there can be another period of months after that point before the maps are effective at the federal level, but we still have maybe another 1 to 2 or more years to go.
Heimel says even after those maps are put in place, there will be an appeal process so property owners can still raise questions about how the maps apply to them and their property. This is the Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app or visit montanastatenews.com.
When faced with complex challenges, there are people who come together to solve problems and transform lives. That's us. We are Rotary. We work with community partners to build green spaces for all to connect with nature and each other. We support local youth through mentorship and literacy programs. We're committed to causes that improve lives everywhere. Learn more at rotary.org/action.
Thanks to your support, the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to VetTix.org and FirstTix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
We are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. It's a Friday one-hour edition of City Talk. Ginny Miriam, City of Missoula Communications Specialist, and Jamie Jonkel is with us, Bear Conflict Specialist with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Park. We do have a caller on the line, and it's Emmett. Emmett, you're on with Jamie. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Interesting subject. I've never encountered a bear before, but I've heard of bear encounters. Now, I heard on the news, KPX News, a few years ago, that with bobcats and mountain lions, if you see one of those around the hiking trails, you must always make yourself look as big as possible and always fight back. Is this true with bears? I've heard conflicting reports that you do that because you don't want to run away from them. They think you're a prey animal. But I've also heard conflicting reports that you just speak slowly and try and walk away and try not to disturb the bear and say, "Hello, bear, I'm really sorry." Or just say, you know, walk along a trail, say, yo, bear, kind of ridiculous, just not to startle them. Which is true, or is it a combination of both?
That's a very good question. Thanks, Emmett.
Yeah, it's a combination of both. You know, it's like working around horses. You know, you just have to be calm, move slow, not get overly excited. So if you encounter any wildlife, you know, be it a big cow moose, you know, with a calf, or black bear, or grizzly, or lion, you know, your first reaction should be to be calm, be slow, and slowly back up, get out of the way. If you have a lion or a bear, though, that's kind of acting a little odd, you know, where it's maybe you know, walking towards you, sometimes it could just be complacency where they're like, "Well, I'm walking towards you, so you get out of the trail, buddy." You know, and a lot of times just stepping off the trail, they'll pass on by. But once in a while, you'll get some predatory behavior in a black bear or a lion, and that's where they encourage you to fight back. You know, always have bear spray on your pack. With the grizzlies, you know, you'll get that once in a while, but most of it's a defensive sort of thing. They want to have you leave the area. You know, they aren't in it for predation. You know, they're just trying to get you to back off and get out of the way. So, you know, just be calm, you know, have your bear spray in hand and slowly back up and get out of the area. But keep your eye peeled on them, you know, and watch them.
Interesting. Hey, that's very interesting. All right. Well, thank you. That's very interesting.
Thanks for the call, Emmett. Appreciate that. All right. So when we're out, obviously we're surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of miles of great trails. I mean, you name it, mountain trails, you know, flat valley trails, whatever it might be. So someone who just moved into Missoula right now, what would you suggest? Go to Bob Ward's or whatever sporting goods store you choose and get yourself ready for that.
Yeah, you know, I would definitely, you know, have a can of bear spray. You know, there's lots of different product out there, but, you know, really bear spray should be on your hip, just like you have matches in your pocket and a knife on your belt, you know, for doing this and that. You know, it's a tool that you should have on your body at all times. And that way, if you encounter, you know, someone that's strange, you know, acting aggressive toward you, you know, you can pull out your can of bear spray and spray that person. But then it's there, too, if you encounter a bear or a lion or a cow, elk, you know, that thinks you're threatening toward her calf. You know, so, yeah, bear spray is key. And then you shouldn't be over-frightened. You should understand that there's so many people in the Rocky Mountain West anymore that just about every, you know, wildlife species encounters, you know, hundreds of humans a week. And a lot of them become complacent and they just treat us like cows and try to move on. But you will get bears, you know, that have, and lions, you know, that aren't too used to people and might feel threatened. You know, a lion with a den nearby with newborn kittens might behave differently than a lion that's just used to walking through, you know, tons of people hiking an area. So it varies quite a bit.
So what are you hearing from Fish, Wildlife, and Parks? Are the reports about encounters between wild animals and people, are they increasing, especially as our population increases and and the animal population also wants to be around that urban wildland urban interface for all the food?
Yeah, you know, people only hear about the strange things, the dangerous things that happen ever so often. They never hear about the daily encounters. I mean, on a daily basis, we have people encountering lions, black bears, grizzly bears, and nothing happens. You know, they just look at each other and go opposite directions. So you only hear about the worst case scenarios.
Right.
And, you know, every year, you know, we have a mauling incident, you know, with a grizzly or a black bear. But it's not the most common thing that happens. I mean, I work with ranchers that see grizzlies daily, you know, and half the time, you know, they just kind of like bear nods and keeps eating alfalfa. So a lot of variation out there.
So let's talk about what bears eat. I mean, obviously, does a bear poop in the woods? Well, of course, you know, but what do bears eat? What kind of things are they looking for? Small mammals or like you say, grain or what?
Well, you know, for the last 10, 15,000 years, our local wildlife populations, you know, bears included, have been following the natural food sources, seasonal food sources, and it's just embedded, you know, in their cells. And in the last 100 years or so, you know, all of a sudden there's humanity laying across the landscape. It's like a glacier, if you will. And so
it's not moving.
It's not moving, but we're slowly kind of expanding. And so the wildlife are trying to use the habitats like they always have. And, you know, like here in the Missoula area, every May and every fall, our bears come down to the lower valley floor and the creek bottoms for natural bear foods. And, you know, there's a lot of houses there. So they might be feeding on these natural foods, but they can't help but, you know, find garbage cans, bird feeders, that sort of thing. The fall is always the most interesting time period because, you know, up north, it's the huckleberry that's so important. But here in the Missoula Five Valleys area, it's our chokecherry, serviceberry, and hawthorn crops. So every fall, all of our local bears, you know, try to come down and feed on those riparian berries. And, you know, they might feed on those, but it's so easy to cast off on a heavily watered lawn, a bird feeder, you know.
I've heard about bird feeders. They're especially attractive.
Yeah, and it's the bird feeders and it's the garbage, you know, that are the big ones. I mean, most bears that come into yards, especially heavily watered green lawns, mm-hmm. they're just going for the dandelions, the clover, and the grass. And then they discover these other attractants.
Right.
yeah.
So. Roll around a little bit just for fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it doesn't take much. You know, yeah. It's kind of like us, if they're like, wow, I can get a lot more out of a garbage can and bird feeders than I can these choke cherries.
They're very intelligent.
Yeah, they'll cast off and go the easy route, much like we do.
You bet. Yeah. Take the path of least resistance,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We're going to come right back. We have Jerry and Jeff both waiting to visit with you. And our guest here in the studio, Jamie Jonkel for City Talk, Bear Conflict Specialist with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. If you have a question or a comment or a story, hey, give us a call at 721-1290. We'll be right back.
With Missoula's...
Okay, we are back on TalkBack. And real quickly, Jenny Miriam was just reminding me about the garbage can trade out. April 30th is the next phase. Is that right? Okay. Okay, so that's good to know. All right, let's get to the phones. People wanting to talk with Jamie Jonkel. And Jerry is up first. Jerry, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I live at 204 South Avenue East, and I've lived there since the early 70s. So I've been a while, and I've seen some. I very seldom have heard of bear problems around my specific neighborhood. Most of us have been in the university area. So I'm wondering, I've got a couple garbage cans in a rack outside that I've used for years and years and years without really any problems. Am I going to have to change those out and pay a higher fee to the garbage people to get there? And then my other complaint is living on South Avenue. We see about four big bucks that walk through our yard back into the interior from the mountainside. And nothing is ever done to control those, and they keep growing every year. There's at least two fawns that move through the area, and they have two to three does every year. And I see the city doing absolutely nothing about controlling the deer population. In the meantime, my wife gets frustrated because she can't put her good flowers out front outside the fence without them being eaten up by the deer. So can you help me out a little bit and maybe tell me a little more about the specific time schedule? Who has to change out garbage cans in our area? I'll get off the air and listen to your response.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, Jerry.
Well, yeah, you bet. So phase three is going into effect on April 30th. And, you can hop on and see if you're actually living within that phase three buffer zone area. If you go to the MissoulaBears.org site, you can access, maps that show you where the buffer zone is. So there's certain areas that people will not be required to do this. Now, in the South Hills, when I was a punk kid, heck, I used to, hunt by the Patty Street Market, go pheasant hunting and stuff. And I remember when they first started to develop the South Hills, my dad was always like, oh, boy, we're going to be seeing issues there in the future. I mean, I used to see elk up there all the time. Now what we got going on is, the South Hills, at times, it looks like the African Serengeti. You've got those huge mule deer herds, those white-tailed deer herds.
And don't forget the wild horses.
Yeah, and the wild horses. They're creeping down through those open spaces. They're following those draws. Mount Deanstone has a lot of elk, a lot of mule deer, a lot of whitetail, and a lot of bear, a lot of lion. And with all the deer then figuring out the goodies around home sites, we're starting to see them coming down off those hillsides and coming into town and then spending more time in town. And, FWP, can't do much with that. You can't really hunt them. So, we just need a good urban wildlife management plan and get people working, neighborhood associations working closely with the cities, and I bet we can resolve some of the issues. But, we've got so much wild country around us, we're always going to have urban wildlife, and it'll probably get more interesting into the future. I don't know if I answered all the questions there, but I tried.
I would imagine it would be unreasonable to expect the city or the county or whatever to try to free the entire city and county area of any natural wildlife. And this is their home. They were there first.
Yeah, it's tough. But, people do get annoyed. There's nothing worse than having your, the petunias. just planted the other day. You come out the next morning and they're snarfed up, you know. But, you know, I get people so angry, you know, that they actually want me to come to their house and pick up the deer pellets on the yard, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
So I do feel for them.
A snow shovel works just fine.
Yeah, but, you know, if electric fence is a really wonderful tool. You know, if you have a yard where you've got some beautiful roses and you put a lot of work into it, you know, there are some pretty good aesthetically pleasing designs of fence, you know, that you can have a couple hot wires on, electrify, that'll keep deer and bear out.
You bet. And once is all it takes.
Yeah.
All right, because they have great memories. Jeff is on the line. Jeff, good morning. You're on Talk Back with Jamie Jonkel. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Missoula. Bear conflict specialist. It sounds like some sort of mixed martial arts skill. I grew up in the South Side as well, on the last two blocks of Reserve Street, as a matter of fact. Right there in Moose Can Gully was one of our playgrounds, and you know, climbing up all over the South Hills there. And but my question is for you is, you're talking about bears and problems, and I presume you're talking more about black bear and brown bear than grizzlies. Are there any problems with grizzlies, or are we usually mostly the docile types?
Well, you know, the grizzlies come in different flavors. You know, some are real easygoing, you know, real complacent around people. You know, they'll walk right past you, you know, and say, hey, how's it going? You know, not every grizzly is as aggressive as you hear about in the papers and stuff. But there are individual grizzlies that get the feeling threatened. You know, I'm sure you've heard all the scenarios about, you know, a mother protecting her young, you know. Just like humans, you don't want to get too close to a mom, be it a grizzly, a moose, or an elk. But yeah, here around the Missoula area, we're starting to see more and more grizzly activity. You know, they're coming down out of the missions, out of the rattlesnake, out of that Blackfoot country. And yeah, we've had lots of verified observations of grizzlies around towns in the last 10 years. The population has increased.
Is that coming down from the north or coming up from the south, or both, or...
You know, they're mostly coming down out of the north country. You know, we're at the bottom end of the missions, essentially the Rattlesnake Mountains, or the base of the Mission Mountains on the south end. And so a lot of bears are coming that way. But then the Blackfoot Valley, Clearwater Valley, you know, up around Sealy and Ovando, has real high grizzly densities. And a lot of those bears are kind of drifting down the Garnet Range and even crossing Interstate 90 and coming into the Sapphire Range, you know. We've had grizzlies showing up down in the Big Hole now for years and years, and Bitterroot Valley as well. So, yeah, they're slowly coming back.
Yeah, I don't think that's part of what the Chamber of Commerce and the tourist industry is promoting, but folks do need to be aware of what's going on there, because, an encounter with a grizzly, I understand what you're saying, they're not all aggressive, but the sheer size difference and the basic difference in temperament. I mean, that would, there's that old joke about wearing bells and, you know, finding bells in beer and bear poop and stuff. So, I have a healthier respect for grizzlies than I do for black or brown bears. So.
Yeah. So do I. And moose.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Oh, moose as well. You know, they're a big one. You know, a cow moose guarding her calf, you know. Now, it's not as frightening as what I heard on the police report there. You know, I'm far more frightened of my fellow man than I am some of the wildlife. But
they just want to be left alone.
Yeah, deer. I mean, there have been more people hurt by deer than there have bears.
Yeah. You know? We're up against a break. We're going to come right back. Thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it. We have Ed. We also have an app question, and Catherine is waiting. So we're going to come right back with more with Jamie Jonkel, bear conflict specialist with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, right after this.
The city of...
We are back. This is Talk Back. 721-1290 is our number. It's City Talk. Jenny Miriam has brought Jamie Jonkel, bear conflict specialist with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And I believe Catherine is waiting. Oh, no. Ed's waiting the longest. Ed, good morning. You're on Talk Back. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. We moved here in 1979 to the Wapakia area on the south side of town. And to start this whole thing off, our cat was acting really funny, just tippy-toeing around so slowly and looking out the sliding glass door. Well, the next morning we knew why, because my wife called me at work, and there was a bear in the corner, a cinnamon-colored black bear. And she called the game and fish eventually, and two guys came over and gave it a tranquilizer dart. But when they went up to it, the dart didn't really work that well, and it didn't run away. But the two guys had to go back to the office to get another dart. They told my wife that it was a controlled substance, and they could only have one at a time. Wow. Now, first of all, is that true?
No, but, you know, sometimes people are called in and they're at a short distance without their equipment, and they kind of come over to evaluate the situation. Like a lot of the wardens will have a drug kit with them, maybe enough to handle one bear. The bear team, you know, we actually usually show up with a little two-horse trailer that's just full of equipment that we need. And if our first dart doesn't work, you know, we usually have the everything we need to do a second or third dart.
The second dart didn't work either, and it jumped over the fence, and somebody else has a bear story over there. But,
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, there's a lot of new drugs that we're using to anesthetize bears, and, you know, you have to pick a different drug for a different situation, and some of these drugs are really fast-acting now. A bear will go down quickly. Some others, you know, it might take 5-10 minutes for them to go down. So, yeah, we try to get them up in a tree, if possible. Not a tall tree, but a real low tree. And if you get them contained in a low tree, you know, then you can take your time at darting them. If you free dart a free ranging bear, you know, that's in an urban area, I mean, sometimes they can disappear pretty quickly. And there's a lot to it.
They figured that it was probably hit by a car and was hanging around and wouldn't skedaddle as fast as you think it might when people are walking around. So the adrenaline from that getting hit was kind of fending off the tranquilizer in the dart.
Yeah, there's a lot to it. You know, if you underdose them, you know, they won't go down good. If you get if the dart goes in at an angle, it'll go sub-Q under the skin, and they won't get the full dose. Or if you dart them in the butt, you know, they'll be like 3 or 4 inches of fat, and they won't get the drug that way. So, yeah, it's kind of like an art form. A lot of things can go wrong, so we try to take our time and be as professional as possible, but sometimes, yeah, folks make errors.
All right, thanks for the call. We have an app question, Nick. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Hugh wanted to know, he said, I'm curious if Jamie can tell us how many cougars and bears are removed from the city each year. Also, are they moved or are they killed?
You know, with the lions, we try to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, sometimes you'll have a lion in town that's just lost in humanity, and we'll try to help them get out by hazing them with dogs. But with lions, you know, if they're in town, they're trying to live in town, you know, we do not relocate lions. They're usually removed. But a good hazing can run a family group of, let's say, lions out of town and where they get into a better area. People always think we trap and relocate a lot of black bears, but really, you know, on an average year, we'll probably only capture 4 or 5 black bears, and most of those are relocated. The only ones that we actually remove are the professionals, those bears that have that glint in their eye, just like little Billy, who, you know, is going to steal cars when he gets to be 16. You can usually pick out a bear that's going to not give up the gravy train life. And sadly, those are the kind of bears that escalate their behavior. You know, they'll go from easy garbage and easy bird feeders to breaking into homes. And sadly, you know, those bears do have to be removed. Our conflicts have gone down so much the last 3 years because of this new bear buffer zone garbage ordinance. But every year we'll get one, maybe two bears. They're like, I'm not giving up that old life. You know, I'm not going to I'm going to start breaking into a garage or crawling through a home's window or breaking into a vehicle. And sadly, those bears, we can't relocate.
All right, let's get one more call in before we take a break. No, we'll take a break. We'll take the break now. We'll come back. We'll get Catherine, Harry, and Jake all waiting to visit with you. We'll be right back. Jamie Jonkel, our guest from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks on City Talk. Back after this. Hey, you know, we are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, and time is rapidly slipping by with Jamie Jonkel. Let's get our next caller on. Catherine, go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. I was just wondering, we have such a lot of river systems and creek systems, and I think bears specifically will use those as corridors for travel. How much or do they use of going through town, and is that going to be a problem, or has it been a problem in the past? And what can be done or what is being done to maybe provide them a safer way to traverse from area to area?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, the Missoula Valley, you know, if you look at it, it's called Five Valleys, you know, for a reason. If you look at it from Google Maps, you know, looking down on it, it is this amazing fracture zone in the Rocky Mountains. And literally, you know, we've got multiple mountain ranges all around us. We've got three big drainages all kind of converging together, tons of little side drainages and ridgelines all funneling right into Missoula. And forever, you know, going back in time, all of our local bear populations have been using this area, and they've got these sort of migration routes or travel routes, if you will. And now, you know, we're superimposed on top of that. People think that we've been here forever. I mean, a lot has changed in the last 200 years, and the bears and the elk and the deer are still trying to, you know, follow those old patterns. We get bears all the time that are trying to follow, let's say, the Blackfoot River down, check out some new country, find a new home range. And next thing they know, it's 5:30 in the morning, and they're kind of down by, you know, Higgins Street Bridge. And all of a sudden, there's people everywhere, and they'll get confused and lost. And sometimes we'll help those bears out, get them further downriver, get them back upriver. But, yeah, there's some pretty cool stuff going on, you know, with various NGOs and the county and state governments, you know, trying to enhance the existing travel routes that are still there. There aren't very many left. So, we got to work quickly. And if anyone's interested in helping out, you know, we need property purchased and saved rather than developed.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have Jake standing by. Now, Jake, good morning. You're on with Jamie Jonkel. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. First of all, Mr. Jonkel, try a little honey and some tea, and, well, brandy's optional too, but it'll really help that scratchy throat.
Brandy sounds good.
I've got a couple grizzly questions for you. I know there's been talk about delisting them because the numbers have increased beyond what the baselines are. Grizzlies, what kind of habitat area does, say, like a big male need? I mean, I've heard 200 miles of range or something. And then the second part of that is, I've been hearing, I'm down in the Bitterroot, that there's been some transplants of grizzlies up in the Sapphires. I don't know about the Bitterroot side, but I remember years ago at Whitetail Golf Course here in Stevensville, there was a grizz trap that was playing with the flag sticks.
Yeah. So, you know, these big males, they will cover a lot of ground, and it's, you know, the main reason is so they can meet lots of gals. These big males will, you know, essentially have a whole mountain range. You know, we've had males in the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem that'll be, you know, from the Canadian border all the way down to the Blackfoot Valley. I mean, they cover a lot of country. The females tend to have, you know, smaller home ranges. Same with younger bears. each bear's a little different. You know, we had one bear that sort of lived in the Blackfoot, but every year he'd make a huge trip up to the Ronan Arlee area, you know. So a lot of variation. And then, yeah, we're starting to see, you know, more and more bears showing up. All the bears that have come down into the Bitterroot Valley, you know, have all come down on their own, given some pretty good presentations on that, you know, to various entities. If you would ever like to, you know, have a talk down there on grizzly bear activity in the Bitterroot Valley, I'd be happy to do that. If we get a bear that shows up on his own and he's not really doing anything, like if he's just at the golf course, you know, digging up the sprinkler lines because he thinks there are voles moving around underneath the soil, or, you know, trying to get earthworms, we don't really consider that as big a deal as, let's say, a bear that breaks into a house. And so that little grizzly you're talking about was known as Stevie. And at that time, we didn't have any relocation sites for bears in the Bitterroot Valley that, you know, hadn't really done anything but needed to be re-released within their home range. So he had to go all the way back up to the Sealy area. And but those two little bears that showed up, oh, 4 years ago, brother and sister, you know, they came down, set up shop, didn't really do anything. And then in the fall, they started hitting apple trees, started, you know, sniffing around garbage cans. So we did what's called a preemptive relocation. And we got a few relocation sites for non-problem bears, you know, in the Sapphire Range, and even on the other side, the west side. And so we caught those two bears a day apart and relocated them to the same area, but they never joined back up. And they ended up going all the way back up to the scapegoat, finding each other, denning together, and then she dropped her collar, but he kept his, and he actually came back down and crossed Interstate 96 times. He was a pretty amazing bear, but yeah, they're coming down on their own. We aren't relocating any.
Delisting thoughts?
What's that?
Delisting them thoughts?
You thought about delisting them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The state is working real hard at trying to get the population delisted. But political.
Do we have time for one more call, Nick? No, we don't. Okay, so we're going to wrap things up, and thank you for all your calls this morning. Let's wrap things up, Jamie, for folks living in the Missoula area listening to our show right now. What are the chances of us seeing a bear somewhere in our neighborhood as the spring continues into summer?
Well, you know, it's my great hope that with the garbage ordinances going in effect now, we won't see as many bears coming down for unnatural attractants like garbage and bird feeders. You know, that memory is hopefully going to be lost from the population. But the bears are always going to come down for eternity to take advantage of the natural bear foods, the chokecherry, the hawthorn, the serviceberry, and we have tons of that right in the Missoula Valley floor. So those bears are always going to be here. You know, they're going to come down for that food source. So what's key is, you know, keeping them from learning, you know, behaviors that make them go into yards.
How do we contact you? Real quick, phone number, website?
Yeah, so if you hop on missoulabears.org, that's the best way. You can file a report, but you're welcome to email me or call me if you just...
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. And thank you. Thank you so much, Jenny, for bringing him with you. Okay, Mr. Nick, as we look forward to Monday, what's going on, sir?
We'll start with open phones for the first half hour, and then Dr. John Lott will join us. He's the president and founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center.
All right. So, and again, thanks for all your calls this morning. We appreciate it. And a big thank you to Jenny and to our special guest here in the studio, Jamie Jonkel, bear conflict specialist with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. I have a history with him myself. I helped out in my property, in fact. So get out there and enjoy this beautiful day and the weekend, and we hope that you will join us on Monday morning, as always, right here on KGVO for Talk Back. Until then, have yourselves a great weekend, everybody.